Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 121, part 1, Our Instincts Need Purifying. Today is Friday, November 13th, 2009. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue, in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community, and at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join our online community. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or write a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, where you will find the show notes to the podcast. You can also email me, Janine@pastorpaul.org. And in the show notes, you're going to find scripture links to those scriptures that Pastor Paul uses within his message. Be sure to join us every Friday and Sunday for part one and part two of Pastor Paul's weekly podcast. Have a great month of November, starting it off on All Saints Day, November 1st. These are the messages that you will hear this month on Pastor Paul's podcast. A love better than wine. Our instincts need purifying. Old things and new things. And old and new side by side. So there you have it. The month of November will prove to be the best yet. God bless you and have a great month.
Tonight's message is entitled, Our Instincts Need Purifying. Last week we talked on overcoming and being in Christ on a Friday night, which meant identification with the Lord's purposes. We said to give up resentments. I had a few phone calls on this tape about people that had resentments, and I think a lot of times we run into people that have those. They cause murder and adultery and jealousy. They all come out of resentments. Someone resenting the other person. All the wrong motives. You can fall into all kinds of things because of resentments. But I guess there's a line that is drawn when there's a time to be that way and a time to not be that way, and there's a time when the Lord says, you know, in certain instances, in friendships, to part. If you remember the disciples, and the Lord said for them to, you know, separate themselves from one another. But I'm talking about resentments that we build up. But let's go on, and we find, if we go on here tonight, that there are victories in Jesus Christ. Now tonight, let's look at the results of being in Christ. And Paul says like this, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. I used to wrestle with that all the time. I used to think, well, now I'm a brand new creature and I'm not going to do any of these other things or have any thoughts or any wrong thoughts. The Bible says I'm a brand new creature. But I just had to look at what I just said here. It says, old things are passed away, yet they have not passed away. The old things are become new. The old things are become new. And I started to ponder on that one time, and the Lord said, yes. All things are working together for good for them that love the Lord. All things are working together. And I thought, boy, that's beautiful. That means God can take everything in our past life, all the old attitudes and all those old things and all those old instincts, and he doesn't just say you don't have them anymore, but he says, I'll make them brand new. You'll go through a time of transition. It's called deliverance. When we get saved, there was a sense in which things completely passed away. Okay, after about 2 months then, I thought, you know, I just don't have the desire. I have a desire right now to quit smoking. I don't have the desire to go on smoking, but I don't have the ability. And so God gave me the ability to quit smoking, and that was the same way with drinking. And I thought, wow, now I'm really rolling along. Now I've got it made. If I can overcome this drinking and this smoking, well, I'm home flying free, I thought. Well, there is a sense in which things completely passed away then, isn't there? And yet there was a sense in which things came back again, completely transformed and new. I still got angry. I still got butterflies and I got nervous and I got uptight. But it was a new uptightness. I got uptight and I got angry, but it didn't blow. So these things were being harnessed, and then my old desires were being harnessed. Running around and drinking and all of that. Well, you mean you never had those desires? Yes, the desire was still there somewhat. But God had them in check. God had them in harness. And I think that's a lot of times what people fall down when they first become Christians. They try so hard on something that's God's business. Now, it's not by might and it's not by power, but God says it's by my Spirit. Now, you let the Spirit speak to you, you'll be surprised what the Spirit will tell you. Spirit will tell you a whole lot of things. See, you set up your own laws and your own bylaws, but there's always the Spirit that comes in. It's always the Spirit of meekness. It's always the Spirit of grace. And it's always the Spirit of love that will deal with you. When you deal with yourself, you can tell, because it's always harsh, and it's always uptight, and it's always, I'm going to change, and it's all those things. It's not the Holy Ghost at all. A lot of times we think that we're doing something for God, and we stumble in it. But yet I said there was a sense in which they came back again, but completely transformed and new, and I think just like this, it was you, but yet it wasn't you. I looked in the mirror, well, it was the same fella. He had the same hands and the same feet and the same some hair then. It was the same person, and yet I looked in the mirror and it wasn't the same person. Have any of you done that? And then you probably a week later had a flashback, a reoccurrence of yourself. And the desires and all those old things came on heavy. Of course, none of you know what I'm talking about here, do you? It was you, yet it wasn't a you. Were you hearing this? It was you, but yet it wasn't a you. It was a new you in you. And that new you in you was taking over, and there was a battle that was going on the inside. I remember lying in bed and I said, you know, I think there's something taking over my body. And I got real fearful. I was just born again. Jan, there's something taking over my body. And I didn't want to lose what I had, which of course was nothing. But that's all I had. I had, the song goes, I got plenty of nothing, but nothing's plenty for me, oh, huh? And I didn't want to lose what I thought was the real me, and I was being transformed, and I was being translated, and I was being delivered. I didn't understand it. And a terrible fear swept over me. I'm not the same person. I don't have the same lust that I used to have. I don't have the same desires. I don't laugh at the same jokes that I used to laugh at. I'm weird. I've separated myself from the people I work with. I no longer enjoy the things that I used to enjoy, and the things I used to hate, I enjoy. And so I fell into a total lonesomeness and a sort of a total, what would you call it, withdrawal. Now I was coming off of the biggest drug that ever was. S-E-L-F. Self. I was hooked on me. You ever been hooked on you? You'd be surprised how you're hooked on yourself. Oh, that is a drug, and you're going to have reoccurrences and flashbacks and cold sweat. And the only way to get rid of that is to go cold turkey. That's when you lock yourself up in a room. That's exactly what I did. For some, I believe it was about 9 or 10 months. You've heard me say this before. I'll say it again. I think it's important to say. Because a lot of people need deliverance, need to know they're going through it. But I went through this withdrawal. And it was terrible. And I thought, you made me do it. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. And I had all these mixed emotions about leaving myself. And oh, I wanted to get back in. I just wanted one more hit. I wanted one more fix. So I wrestled through the night. Should I get up? Should I go out? Should I go out and line my mouth up with cigarettes and go have some drinks? No, I didn't want to do that. So the battle was on, wasn't it? And I'd go down the street and I'd try to not look at women. The more I tried not to look at women, the more I'd look at them. Oh, God, I did it again. Forgive me. And I'd get into a sweat and I'd try to get my head straight. It was almost like I had to have, and I'm being honest. Of course, I could stand up here and tell you lies. But no one would be delivered, would they? I'll tell you something. I don't care if you get to be 100 years old. If you're an old gal, you're 100 years old, and you're sitting down there and you have these fantasies. The Sheik of Araby comes along and grabs you up off the sands and up and away you go. See, because you still have them desires. Especially if you don't deal with them. Say amen, somebody. So now you're with me, or I'm too nasty for you to be with me? Huh? Are you still, how many with me yet? All right. Come on, we're going to get some deliverances going on here tonight. But it was really weird because, you see, the old you passed away, Adam, and the new you becomes you, and you don't want to get off. And I thought, how do I get out of this mess? Now I've opened my big mouth up. I've witnessed everybody. I told them I love the Lord. I'm not going to sin again. I don't want nothing to do with sin again. And yet I want to have some sin again. No, I told them I'll never, ever sin again. I told them I didn't want to sin. Yet, there was a part of me that wanted to do it so much. And all of a sudden, I'd be sitting there and I'd feel a desire to swear. Are you still with me? I'd get mad and all that word wanted to come out. So the battle was on, and I had this new me in me, and it just kept after me all the time. But this new creature is entirely different from the old creature. Are you hearing this? And the war is on. yet is fundamentally the same, only new. That sound kind of weird to you? It's kind of like I thought, you're all dirty. You ever seen somebody that's all dirty? I mean, they're a coal miner or something like that. Or they're smudged up with dirt and crud and their hair is all matted. And they go in and they get all cleaned up and they shampoo their hair and they come out. And you say, ooh, what happened? It's you. But it isn't the same you that went in there. And that's the same thing that happens on the inside. And yet, whilst those people are saying, you know something, you've changed, you don't think you've changed at all. You say, oh, I got them fooled. I haven't changed. I still have them old things. Now, somebody in here thinking that same very same thing. Maybe you're too religious to admit it, but that's just the way it is. Say amen, somebody. Oh, but hey, I've left all those former things. Yes, you have, but I'm just saying these things are going to hinder you to the day you drop dead. Say amen, somebody. You don't recognize them, you're going to trip and fall in a great way. So I was the new me, and the old me didn't like the new me. And the new me didn't like the old me, and so they had a fight in there. But I can do all things well through Christ. So I told myself that. Did it help? No. No, it didn't help. I didn't think. Then I got real mixed up. Well, I wonder what part of me is thinking now, the old me or the new me. And I thought, well, the old me is negative and the new me is positive. And then I got into sort of a crazy thing. Are you hearing this? People get crazy. They do. Yeah? They were on for 3 or 4 months, and I was totally nuts. Of course, none of you in here know what I'm talking about, do you? I was reading here not too long ago where the modern peach in Persia, they used to take this and dip their arrows in it because it was a poison. Now they use it to eat. See, it was the same peach, but now it's transformed. Well, something great was happening on the inside, and I knew it was happening, but I didn't want it to happen, but I did want it to happen. But irregardless of my wanting or not wanting, it was happening. And a little bit at a time, I started to change. A little bit of time, I started to transform and be translated out of this present evil world. Many of the times during that 9.5 or almost 10 months, I thought I was losing it. Well, you know, I read in the Bible then that Paul was once Saul. Are you hearing this? But I thought, well, maybe that's me. And I got into Romans. I started reading Romans. I says, you know, I kind of like this Paul. He reminds me of myself. He's kind of mixed up, kind of crazy. Why do I do the things I don't want to do? I don't want to do them. I'm still doing them. Oh, I tell you, there's the driving forces of the Spirit. But they're under a new control, and they're directed towards a new end. But you don't want to go. There's something controlling you. You have a new controller. And that controller is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it led me all the way down through my ministry to where I'm at right now. Being controlled. And a lot of times, let me tell you folks, there's heel marks across the floor because I do not want to go. Say amen, somebody. But you have to allow yourself to be controlled or you'll suffer. You ain't going to like it all the time. You're going to rebel. You're going to say, I don't want this. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to read the Bible. But I started to change, and I started to see that there were instincts and driving life forces sort of a stream of life dominated. And I think they're dominated through a couple of, you know, instinctive channels, I would have to say. One of them would be self. Another one I'd have to say a real driving force is sex. It'll either drive you happy or drive you sad. Are you hearing this? Another driving force, I believe, instinctive force, is herd. We go along with the herd. Some strong personality comes along and bah! And they all follow that personality. Another one comes along, bah! Huh? So I found out I have these instinctive things to follow after. Myself and sex drive and herd. These were instinctive. Well, I thought, now I'm perverted yet, but now I'm still perverted, but I've got cleaned up perversion. Does that make sense? My instincts are under God's control. Now, in the society that we have today, at least when I was young, they used repression. Is that right? The instinct is pushed down into the subconscious, and then we close the lid on it, but try to pretend like it isn't there. It doesn't work. I tried to act like everything was roses with me, and I hid this down in the self-conscious part of my mind, and I am this way, and that's the way it is. I positive confessed over myself in the mirror. I laid my hands on my head, and I positive confessed on it, and I stuffed myself down in one of these little cracker boxes, you know, and I says, there, I've got it under control. You tried that lately? Doesn't work. See, when I was first saved, I was changed. I wanted to take some of the credit, some of the glory. And they said, my, you're growing fast. Well, it just seems like you're growing in leaps and bounds. Oh, and I got so puffed up and stinky, you know what I mean? And God let me have the pin. My conscious mind then wanted to do good, but see, I was so busy warring with my repressed instincts. They were down there trying to get out of this box. Ooh, they were pushing on the lid. Ooh, 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 and they were knocking on the lid. Come on, let us out of here. You know you want us out. Come on, you know you love me. You really want to do it. You really want to do it. You know, huh? Now, you could pay $45 for a half hour of this, but I'm not going to charge you. Well, that's kind of like when the kids are bad. We don't just kick them out of the house, do we? Four-year-old's bad. Huh? You're 4 years old. Why did you wet your ditty? Out! So I couldn't throw myself out of myself, could I? Don't you wish you could just really die to yourself sometimes? Totally? It's not possible. No. But see, we don't do that. We suppress these things and we take the kid inside and we say, I want you to go to your room. I want you to think about just what you said to your mother and to your dad. I want you to think about what you've done. But I'm going to keep an eye on you, and I'm going to direct your energies towards a constructive end. And so he brings your subconscious up into the front room and your conscious mind. And then the Lord puts a light on your instincts and desires until you say, yes, Lord. It's called conviction. It's called facing the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's called not repression, but it's called suppression. It's called come on up into the upper room. And so now all of these different desires and instincts are brought into the upper room like the 120 were. God calls them up, puts the light on them. Paul, this is you. And so you're sitting up in there. Your old filthy rags, waiting to be interviewed by the Lord. Huh? There you are, sitting up in that in the frontal lobes, up in here, and it's up in your mind, and there you are. God shows you yourself, and you just sit down there until you yelled when you're ready. And you're sitting there pouting, well, I haven't been too bad. And you go through every excuse you can think of. Blame everybody you can blame. But you're just like the 120 in the upper room. And you're going to have to agree with God. Remember, God is patient. As long as it's patient, admits he's sick. So I sat up in there for a long time, and I had all these things in there, and all that God was dealing with one thing at a time, of course. Pulled him up out of the old thing, and he said, "Now, here you are, and you put on this act, and you put on all these things, and I want you to come up here, and I want to take these instincts, and I want to turn them around for good." Okay, let's say lust. Pulls it up, and there I'm sitting. Till I got good and humble. And until I said, "Yes, Lord," I allowed the Lord to start to deal with me. Then he started to deal with me, and did he take away my drive? No, he turned it around. All things are become new. Did you ever wonder why they phrase it like that? All things are new? No, all things are become new. See, only God can take our poison and turn it around to perfume. So it has a sweet savor, praise the Lord. You can stop condemning yourself now, you listening on the radio to this tape. You have no business doing that. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And so God then opens the door of our subconscious mind and calls out to the old selves in the pit. Yells down, "Attitudes, come up out of there!" See, there is the kingdom of God within you. There was the kingdom of Satan before. Now Christ moves in and there's a warring within your members, just like there's a kingdom on the inside of you. God calls down and he says, "Attitudes, come on out. Hatred, bitterness, rebellion, rejection, phoniness, defeat, fear." Come on up. Woo. Jesus calls down and he says, "Come on out into the light. I won't throw you out. I have the keys." Did you ever hear the keys jangling? Oh, Satan hates that. Oh, he hates that. Jangle these keys. He's trying to, now, of course, he's been cast out. But he's on the outside and he's talking to the old instincts that are on the inside. Don't go out, don't go out, don't go out, huh? That's the time not to shrink back. Don't shrink back from the light. The way is on the way. Jesus now starts to set up his kingdom. And the first one he deals with is Satan. Then he deals with the demons. Then he deals with self. Whew. Now you start to get set free because the old landlord is gone. Now, you still don't exactly like it, though. You like it sometimes. You like it when you're in church. Sometimes. Are you hearing this message tonight? But remember, greater is he that is within you than he that's of the world. Are you hearing this, honey? And one by one, Jesus brings up all the negative attitudes and all the instincts from the basement to the front room, from the subconscious to the conscious mind, and let's call it the upper room. There they are, all 100, let's say, and 20 of the human instincts in the upper room, and God is dealing. But he lovingly deals with them. Okay, he says, hatred, come out here, come out of that hole. You know what hatred is? It's perverted love. The devil has turned everything around. Now, even the world that says, well, you know, hate and love are very close. The Lord says, I'm going to suppress you here in the light. I'm going to put you in this upper room in my light and clean you up and change you. All things are working together for good. You just sit here in the light and call me when you're ready. And then while you're sitting up here, he goes back down after another attitude, and he goes back down into down inside the subconscious for another little thing called bitterness. Whew. One time he told me, he says, Paul, why are you down here and why have you followed me down here? Does that sound crazy to you? This is my business. This is my kingdom. And I am going to set you free. Don't come down. You'll botch it. So I had to stay out of that. I had to stay on the steps. I couldn't get into the battle. I couldn't enter in. God went down after my bitterness, and so he brought another one up. One by one by one by one. Don't condemn yourself if you're in this now. Don't condemn yourself. The Lord says, receive my thoughts. My thoughts are way above your thoughts. My ways are way above your ways. Now go on up there and sit up there in that upper room. And so bitterness comes up, yapping all the way. Leave me alone. I don't want to come up. Well, that's what's happening. There's a war going on. I don't want to! And it's kicking his little legs and fighting and gnashing his teeth and everything. But one by one, all the attitudes and all the instincts are called up out of the pit. The hate and the rebellion and the fear and the rejection and the phoniness and the perversion and the defeat and the pride and the jealousy. Hatred comes up snapping and snarling. But I don't want to be free! I hate people! Huh? Now you sit up there in God's light long enough, you're going to change your mind. Then rebellion is called up, stomping and pouting and shouting and fear, shaking and hiding and whimpering. And then rejection, that suicidal spirit. Seems like it happens to every folks who get saved. They get saved, about 2 weeks or a month down the line, they start getting thoughts of suicide. I can't change! I can't! That's right, you can't. You cannot do one solitary thing without the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing. Now maybe someone on the radio or tape, someone listening here. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? Am I nuts all by myself? Put your arms up. My God, it's the truth. And God calls up phoniness. Aren't we all tremendous actors? Aren't we? God starts to deal with our phoniness, the way we act and the way we talk and the way we carry our Bibles and we come to church. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm just telling you there's a certain amount of phoniness that God wants to deal with within everybody. Isn't there? I mean, we can be so sweet. Praise the Lord, brother so-and-so. Oh, praise be his name. And the brother passes down the lane. No more sooner gets out of sight. Isn't he a wimp? See, that's something you have to deal with. Of course, if you don't deal with it, and you try to, put it down inside the box, It'll pop up at the wrong time. Just like kids. They always say the worst things at the wrong time. Don't they? And it's the same way with those old instincts. If you try to shut them up, they talk all the more. They're like dumb kids. Say amen, somebody. But here we are now. We're up in the upper room. Let's call it the frontal lobes, the conscious mind. And they try to fellowship in the light of the upper room. You know what happens? You start to confess faults to one another. Rebellion talks to hatred, and hatred talks to lust, and the anger, and they all get together and they start to admit they're wrong. You know, they're right in God's light. And they start to realize that the old law didn't work, just like the 120 in the upper room. And they find out that they have a new and a better covenant. And then all of a sudden, fire falls. There is a burn-off. Everyone that gets saved and filled with the Holy Spirit has to go through a burn-off. Then something fantastic happens. You know what happens? All the characters become one under one head, Jesus Christ. They become of one accord, and when they become of one accord, fire falls. And when fire falls, you got the power of the Holy Spirit. Say amen, somebody. Woo-hoo! Glory to God. And then don't repress this. Let Jesus show you. Just sit there and take it. A lot of times people think, well, that's the devil. No. The Lord is going to reveal. His light will reveal. Say amen, somebody. But some old things new. Paul said, all things are passed away, all things are become new. Have you discovered how old things are? Now, the instincts are very old, aren't they? They go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Sometimes people think that they have something new. You ain't got, there's nothing new under the sun. But see, these are certain ruts that we've fallen into. And yet, these ruts can be filled up with the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can walk right across those things. It's all part of a deliverance. You see, now we've received the grace of God, the ability, it means, of God, to walk over those stony places, to fill in all of those low places, and to make a way. Jesus makes a way where there seemeth to be no way. And after that, I got saved, and I had this terrible, pugnacious attitude. God didn't take away my pugnacious attitude. He turned it around. He said, all right, Mr. Pugnacious, I'm going to use your pugnaciousness for good. And I'm going to use this anger for good. There is a godly anger. Did you know that? Now I'm going to turn around this hatred, which is a reversal of love. I'm going to turn it around and I'm going to use it for good. Now get up here.
So if you